Hello.
Hey, can
How's
you
it
hear me?
going? Oh, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, terrific.
Awesome. Sounds like you've been having issues.
Friggin' Skype.
As we use Skype to do this.
I mean, when are the FBI going to fix this? I thought that's the whole reason that they were monitoring our Skype calls, because they are looking to improve the audio quality,
Well,
right?
maybe they don't really care about, the quality of the infiltration, just as long as the infiltration's there. Remember, maybe they're just about checking off boxes as opposed to checking off the right boxes.
Where is their commitment to excellence?
I don't understand. So how's it going? Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
So as we record this, we are what, like the first full work week of 2015. Now, do
Oh
you
man, crazy.
So, I mean, I don't really get too bent out of shape about resolutions and stuff. I tend to, even as we're into this week right now, I'm still kind of in that reflection and planning mode. Do you do the same
Yeah.
thing? Yeah, like I do. You do the same thing, don't you?
Nope, not at all.
No?
Nope.
What do you do?
No. First of all, I don't like to call them resolutions,
Me
because
neither.
that sounds wimpy to me. I resolved to do this, but maybe, possibly. No. Intentions are what I call them. I intend to do this. This is not like, something I wish to do, this is something I'm actively planning on doing. And many of those things, especially, are things that I share with my wife. I wrote a post about this, that your resolutions and your intentions don't happen in a vacuum. And that's true of all of your lists, but it was just easier to write it from that perspective and timely. Those things, especially those kind of big things that we want to get done, no matter how personal they might be, oftentimes, especially if you're in a committed relationship or some sort of symbiotic relationship with another human being, and really at its basis level, who isn't? That it requires their commitment as well, and their buy-in, right? And they're giving you the kind of space and ability to achieve those things, and to support you wherever they might be able to support you. So if your intention is to read 100 books, well, there's going to be time that you're going to need to read those 100 books. That time is going to come from somewhere. Sometimes that time is going to come from time that you might otherwise be spent interacting with your partner or interacting with your friends or what have you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, even our most personal commitments are interlocked with other people, or require their buy-in and support. But my wife and I especially, and this is true of all marriages, right? That there might be some things that she wishes to do that are things that really can't be done, can't be a success without my being involved. For the past couple of years now, and now going into 2015, we've had a intention to have a monthly date night. To make sure that we have a date night every month. When you have a kid and who has their own busy schedule and you've got your busy schedules, it's very easy to kind of get lost in that and forget about how important it is to connect one-on-one as a couple, to as a date where you don't necessarily talk about the kid or talk about the house, but you really get a chance to kind of talk to each other as friends. And that's been very successful for us, and we intend to do it again. But obviously, there's a perfect example of a resolution that really came up from her. She wanted it on her list. Couldn't happen without me.
It's funny. One of the things we've done this past week is my wife is on one type of diet and I'm on another, like nutrition plan, because I've started to do the DDP yoga thing, which I bought like eons ago, but I never actually did. So I'm not just doing the yoga itself, but I'm trying to do the nutrition. Well, our diets her diet is similar to mine, but there are some, you know, subtle differences. But the only way that we can make mealtime and meal planning work is if we sit down and do that. Like, mm-hmm, if we actually together. Say, yeah, we have to say, okay, well, who's, and it's also integrated with the fact that, okay, what days are you going to cook dinner versus what days am I going to cook dinner? Because my wife works 3 days out of the house, right? So I'm home all the time. But like, so Wednesdays, which are the daddy duty days, I'm cooking. Tuesday, I'm cooking as well because she's not home until 5:30, and same with Fridays. So it used to be, and this is like, this is how you layer it up, right? Like, so we already knew we had to put that plan in place, and we have. We've been pretty good about that, you know, like, okay, Tuesday Mike cooks, Wednesday Mike cooks, Friday Mike cooks. But we didn't have a plan as to, we just knew what I had to cook. So I would just pick recipes. I mean, and remember when I asked you, we were in the bookstore, and I said we were talking about different crockpot recipes, and you gave me that one crockpot. Like, that would be an example of what I would do. Well, that crockpot recipe ain't gonna work on this diet. I mean, the cream cheese is out of the question. At least for, you know, because we're going to Mexico at the beginning of March, so we want to make sure that we're, you know, in better. Like, I want to be in better shape, and I ultimately want to live a healthier lifestyle anyway. So now all of a sudden the plan isn't just to cook dinner, but it's to cook the right dinners, right? And the only way we can cook the right dinners is if we're both intrinsically, like, kind of understanding, okay, what can you eat? What can I eat? Okay, well, you can't eat this. And then you bring the kids into the equation.
Like,
Like, let's have a kale and bacon salad. Okay, well, what are the kids going to have? So you have to...
It's mac and cheese again, kids.
Exactly. So you have to kind of figure this stuff out. And that takes time.
It takes planning, it takes commitment, and it takes a willingness to support each other in your respective goals.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing is, as I hear a lot of time, well, we don't have time to do that. We're so good. You do. You just aren't making the time. You know, I mean, you...
Oh, God, you don't even get me started. I hate it when people say, well, I don't have the time, or I never have enough time. No, you're not making time for the things that you want to make time for. Instead, you're making time for things you don't want to make time for. It's really simple. Stop making time for these things that you really don't. But I have to. No, you don't.
You know what I've been doing lately, and this is kind of this is tied somewhat, is I've been reading that new Tony Robbins book. It's not that new now, but the money book that he wrote, and he talks about, you know, how fees compound, just like interest compounds, fees compound, which, you know, I understood before, but I didn't understand, if that makes any sense. Like, I didn't understand the impact. Like, oh, you're right. You know, like, of course fees must compound, but I didn't dive deep enough into saying, oh, wow, okay, these do. So I'm reading it, and he's saying, the thing is just like money, time needs to be invested wisely. And if you put it in the wrong place, then it's not going to pay dividends, right? Yeah. So if you're saying, hey, you know what? We don't have time to eat healthy, so we're going to have takeout every 3 nights, or we're just going to do pasta every night and burgers and hot dogs and all. You know, that may be short-term solution, but long-term problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, then your kids, I mean, this is what happens. We've run into this where, you know, when we were stretched and we weren't really paying attention to this, because, again, and we've talked about this a couple times, intention without attention is powerless, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Basically, like, the kids would be like, well, where's my French fries? Well, there are no French fries. Why are there no French fries? Because that's what they would have, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to – it takes a lot more to undo that. And the only way – and it's not something like you can do cold turkey, because you can't reason with a four-year-old. as try as you might, you can't. And the only way you really – I mean, the best way to reason with a four-year-old –
you know how you reason with a four-year-old, Mike?
How do you reason with a four-year-old? I need to know this.
You say, because I'm the parent. That's why. I mean, that's how you reason with a four-year-old.
You know what? It worked with my daughter, my red-headed four-year-old son, who, you know, it's getting better. But the thing is again...
It gets better, Mike.
I know. Hey, isn't there a book that
you... Yeah, or, you know, like, you know... Yeah.
But the thing is again, I think that if people treated their time like they treated, you know... that's actually probably the best analogy, because some people treat money terribly too. But if they started to think about it in those terms, then they'd say, okay, well, this is where I want to invest it, and if I put it in the wrong place, then it's not going to grow, or it's not going to make the most of it. If I put it in the right places, then it will pay huge dividends.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with you there. Sure. I think part of the problem is that people do they do prioritize money over time. Right.
Right.
And because they do, it leads them to make choices which are not always the best choices.
I think my metaphor or the attempt I tried to make there was to say that some people treat money better than others, right?
Yes.
Just like some people
yes.
treat time better than better others. That's what I was trying to say is that you're right. I think people do say, you know, I can, what's that old, you know, I can, pay it to go away, you know, spend money to, and there is some adages to, and I like this. I mean, having a VA now, man, and I know we wanted to talk a little bit. Last time we chatted, we actually want to talk about saying no a little bit too. So we're getting there.
We are getting there.
But here's the thing is that I had a meeting with my virtual assistant this week, and I said, you know, I've got this calendar program that basically removes me from the equation, so people have to book an appointment that way. But now my problem is that there are more appointments being booked, and the calendar program, they give me three options. And I say, oh, well, I must have free time that day, but I don't because there's other things I should be doing. So anything that comes to her now through the info account, she intercepts and she says, okay, well, she just doesn't automatically give them the calendar link. She actually does a little bit of, you know, researching and says, hey, okay, well, what's Mike's calendar look like? Oh, he wants to work on this. He told me this was his focus. So he's not going to do that this week. I'm not even going to give them the link. I'm going to say, hey, look, you know, so I'm creating another barrier because you and I've talked about this before. I like making people happy, and an easy way to make people happy is to give them what they want and their time. But I, you know, I mean, I'm trying to get my next book started, and I'm trying to get some coursework done, and I'm trying to do a whole bunch of stuff. And I can't do that if I keep filling my days up with appointments. Right.
Right. Right. And, you know, here's, I guess, the other thing about that, right? A lot of times you actually are not making them the happiest by saying yes.
Yeah.
Right,
because you're not giving them your full focus.
Exactly. If you're saying yes to something, to say yes, but you've got 50 million other things that you'd like to do, or that would be better to do at that time, or what have you, or if you have a specific one thing that you should rather be doing at that time, you're not going to be fully invested in whatever you've said yes to.
Right. Right.
And you know. So the most compassionate thing you could do, the most helpful thing you can do oftentimes is to be honest with somebody and say, no, that's not going to work. Let's plan another time when I can't be fully invested in that thing.
Yeah. Now, remember we talked about Rick Rubin the first time you were on. And we said, you know, he probably doesn't see half the appointments that people ask him and half the requests because somebody's probably intercepting it.
Oh, yeah.
So in my mind, having my virtual assistant intercept those while I'm trying to build the ability to get better at saying no, and I'm pretty I'm okay at saying no. I'm not saying I'm all that great. I'm getting better, and I think that comes with wisdom just as much as it comes with anything else. But now, giving her spending money on a virtual assistant to me is money well spent, provided again that I invest my time to make sure that I'm giving her the things that I know she can help me with. So then I can take that time I'm getting back.
Yeah.
And build better stuff out of it, right?
Right. Because the money that you're investing there is getting you an even more valuable resource, which is time.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So the return on investment scales, right?
So when somebody says to me, like, I don't have time to cook a proper meal, I don't have time to this. Well, this is where you could say, hey, look, get help. Pay for help.
Yeah.
Or and that doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a virtual assistant. It could be, you know, like we had a cleaner that came in regularly.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh. Yeah. I'm having a board meeting here earlier, and I've spent half the day cleaning the house because it, you know, it hasn't been really picked up since the whole Christmas holiday shenanigans.
Now, see, wouldn't it, in your mind, and I'm sure you're thinking this now, it would be awesome if you had said, oh, we're having a board meeting in the next couple of days. After the holiday break, this is now the beginning of December, let's say, and you're like, you know, I'm going to book a cleaner to come in on January X, and that way it's gone. But you mean the reason, and we've talked about this before, the reason we write about this stuff and talk about this stuff is because we struggle with it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm the, you know, anyone who thinks I have it all figured out, you know, no, I'm figuring it out. Yeah. And all I'm doing, the difference between me and the other person who's figuring it out is I'm writing down my solutions and sharing them with the world, right?
Yeah.
And even though solutions are not solutions that, like, you know, they take a while to adopt or for me to get it through my head, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I've done lately too when it comes to, and this is again kind of relating to that saying no thing, is I'm using paper a lot more for just getting away from like the app, mm-hmm. like Todoist and stuff. I love going into Todoist to look to see. I'm using the flagging a lot better now because I'm comfortable in there. So I've got my three absolutes, which are marked with red flags. The blues are like, they don't have due dates on them. They're just important. But I've got the Hobonichi now. I've been using it. Nice. Oh, it's such a nice planner. It's got that little meal planning thing at the bottom. So that's where the meals go. And then
I've been using that too. I thought, I'm never going to use that. Are you kidding me? I've been using the heck out of it.
It's awesome. And but the one thing that I am really grateful and I'm finding so powerful about a digital task manager, as you know, and we all know this, but it's such a relief when you, like, so for example, take down Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. I have that as a repeating task in Todoist to do every January 3rd. It's now like it's there.
Yeah.
When I put the hoses away.
You know
away,
you're supposed to wait until the 6th, right?
Yeah, I know.
Because of Epiphany.
Yeah, I know. But my wife.
The wise men.
My wife wants to get it out of the house.
The frankincense and the myrrh. And
frankly, the wise men get trumped by my wife every single time. That, which makes me technically a wise man.
Yeah. That is awesome.
But like during the fall season, as soon as we knew that we didn't need to water our plants anymore, I've got a recurring task, happens annually, put away hoses. And I've got a recurring task that says every March 15th, bring out hoses. So it's weird because most people go, well, why would you put that in there? You should just know. I'm like, yeah, but I have so many other things to keep track of on a day-to-day basis. Why not keep these long-term, silly, you know, innocuous things that... That totally compound. You're like, okay, well now today I have to rake the leaves, mow the lawn, bring out the hose, all that. All of a sudden I'm spending half a day outside. Whereas if I find a pocket of time and I'm outside going to put the Christmas, you know, put the Halloween decorations away, whenever I go do that, guess what comes out? The Christmas decorations.
Of course.
You know, why wouldn't I? I mean, it just makes perfect sense. Yeah. But I love the long-term incubation that digital offers. And what I'm loving more and more is the, okay, and everything's long-term as far as I'm concerned. Anything that goes into the digital task management system, whether it's for, you know, a week from now, 3 days from now, or a year from now, is somewhat longer term because there's so much going on a day-to-day that but for the day-to-day stuff, it gets moved to paper almost immediately now. It's just I look at it and go, okay, these are the things I need to, that I want to do. And unlike I know you assign a time to them, don't you? I know you do.
I do.
I just write them down. Give them the context that they require. I mean, I will refer to Todoist mostly on my iPhone regularly.
Yeah.
But by and large, the paper, it's just because it gives you that disconnect, right? It gives you that total disconnect. So I like that, and I think that that's huge.
So so question for you. Believe it or not, we still haven't gotten to the topic I wanted to talk about.
Totally not.
But that's okay. We can maybe even save this for the next time.
We may be able to, although Schechter wants to talk to us next time.
That's right. Gosh, we're never going to get around to it.
We will. You know what? And isn't it about saying no? Is it about saying no? No.
Kind of, in a way. Basically, it was, and it actually kind of goes back to the resolutions and.
Okay, we'll get. Well, let's make your point, and then we'll jump into it and see what we can.
All right. All right. I can't.
You wanted to ask me a question.
Oh yeah, what are you using the Techo for, the Hobonichi Techo?
So I'm using it for the meal planning is a big one, but I'm also using it for just like basic, like I'll write down the one big important task for the day that I want to work on, which is normally revolving around planning and outlining. So for example. I'm working on my wife is not using a task manager very often. She's trying because I'm kind of forcing it that way, but she still loves using email. And I finally decided to figure out a way that I could provide a gateway for people who are still so into email that could eventually show them the benefits of a task manager without, you know, saying you should use a task manager without being so blunt about it.
Yeah.
And so I sat down with her and she explained what she does, which obviously involves folders in the inbox and all that. So I've started to develop this little approach to email that works if you are compelled to use email and don't have a lot of stuff going on, but as you have more stuff going on, it kind of shows you that maybe you should think otherwise. So I've been kind of mapping that out, but that's what I'll use that for, because I'm not good at outlining and we've talked about this before too. I'm not good at outlining on the computer. I'm more,
okay.
I actually am doing like some drafting out and writing of stuff in here. What else is in here? And on my review day, which is Sunday, that's mm-hmm. where I'll like really map out, like that's where my brain dumps happen. So on the dump page, and yeah, right. I'll quickly capture stuff in here as well. But the Hobonichi generally stays at this point. It's been basically staying at my desk. And the other thing I've been doing with it is, again, more for brain dump stuff, is we're getting the renovations done downstairs. They actually, as we're recording this, they start on Monday, which is awesome because I will finally have an office, which I'm so looking forward to. Right. But any ideas, like I decided as we were down there, I said to the contractor, I'm like, you know what? We want pod lights, like recessed lighting in here because the ceilings are fairly low. And so, but that wasn't in the initial quote. So I had to write that down. So, I mean, that's where this stuff's going. So I'm kind of using it to track some of that, but mainly for outlining, planning, that wouldn't go into a digital medium, and then the weekly review brain dump, and then dinner planning. So that's what the intent of this book is.
So, just for those who might be curious, I use mine for writing down the things that I've done. So basically as a daily log. Mm-hmm.
You've written a post about this too, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I can't remember where it is. I'll find it and mm-hmm. you can link to it in the show notes or whatnot. But basically, my tasks are, on the calendar, when they come up, when I complete them, I write that down in my log, using the Dash Plus system. I also note, kind of significant events or significant conversations. If I have a meeting with somebody, I'll note that. I also, will outside the Dash Plus system, if it is something that happened at a specific time, like a meeting or whatever, I'll write down the time, so 1 p.m. and write down, if it was a meeting, what we talked about, that sort of thing. And also a diary. For the meal planning thing, it's not really meal planning. It's just this little like fork and knife down at the bottom to kind of just notate what you ate. And I only do it for dinner. But it goes along with one of our intentions, shared intentions, another one of our shared intentions, my wife and I, which was, we have a pantry that is like chock full of stuff that like, half used or, needs to get used up or, stuff that, we bought a long time ago and just never got around to making or whatever. And so we're doing our best to kind of work through that stuff. And when I say we, I mean me. Actually, my wife to a certain extent, too, but it's mainly me because I'm the one who does all the cooking in our home mostly. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's been helpful with is not only am I marking down, okay, here's what we had for, what I made for dinner. And I use this and I use this and I use this and I use this other thing out of the pantry. So I can kind of track okay, here's how I'm meeting that goal.
Right.
But speaking of resolutions, I'm going to give the 5-minute spin on what I wanted to say that I started to talk about last week. That I'm like, oh, shoot, we should talk about that. And I wrote it down that we're not going to get a chance to talk about next time because Shecky wants to be on and da, da, da. All right. So here we go.
This will be the fastest Patrick Rohn has ever spoken, by the way.
Here's the thing that's important about goals. This includes your intentions or resolutions, but this also includes longer-term goals. This especially includes, like, these big things, these really big things you want to achieve. So, for instance, right now I'm writing a book. I'm really writing the first draft of a book. And I can almost guarantee it will be a crappy first draft, but that's what first drafts are supposed to be. But it involves a lot of research. It's taking a lot of time. Right now, I'm working my way through a 600-page book on the Reconstruction period between 1863 and 1877. just to give you an idea of the sorts of things I'm having to read to meet this goal. And this book was funded by a grant. And the agreement with my grant, you know, proposal, it was that I would have a crappy first draft by the within a year, which puts that at around the end of July, early August. So now I know what my deadline is. I know kind of when I have to have that done. Great. Now I can work back. And I can work back from that date and kind of block off the time that I know I'm going to need to commit to this project. You know, figure out what the moving pieces are, figure out the things I need to do, figure out how much I have to, you know, when I need to start writing, you know, when I need to have my research completed, when, you know, all of that stuff, and block it off on the calendar. It's the only way it's going to get done. What's wonderful about that is that once you have those big goals and you have committed to doing them and you take the time to make the time to achieve those goals, it allows you to say no to a whole lot of other things that people try to press on you or that, you know, sound good at the time. But it, you know, in the same way that your assistant, your virtual assistant, helps to firewall your time, so you can commit to doing those things that are important to you. You know, having these sorts of big goals can also, and working your way back and figuring out, okay, here's the steps I'm going to need to achieve them, and these are the times I need to get those steps done by. Allows you then to be able to say, you know, hey, you know, do you want to join this reading group? I'm, you know, or we're working our way through the Iliad. Do you want to join up? Yeah, that'd be great to talk about that with a whole bunch of people, and, you know, to finally work my way through that, you know, what is, you know, this epic, you know, poem and story, and, you know, one of the greatest stories ever told. And I'll wonder, nope. Can't do it. No. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nope. Because, well, I've got probably, you know, all told, maybe about, I'm going to say, 5,000 pages worth of stuff I need to read between now and March.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I had a beer with my buddy Tony the other day, just before he went off to do some training, and I was bugging him about the book and just saying how, and he said, dude, you've been talking about writing the book for like the last 6 months, and yet you haven't made much progress on it. Clearly, you know, that's important to you, but you're not moving on it. So you need to do it. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And that's the thing is that we have so much going on that we tend to push the thing that we probably should do the most away because it's the hard, I mean, because it's going to take all my focus to work on that book, which means I can't do anything else. And I'm always been this guy who's been kind of like a smorgasbord kind of guy. I like the buffet. I don't like a meal. I like to like pick and choose. Mm-hmm. So I have to get, I mean, I'm much better at it than I was before. And I put provisions in place to help me with that. But this book has been staring me in the face, the follow-up to The Front Nine, which I've essentially figured out how it's going to go. I just need to go, go. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of times the best way to, you know, the best way to have a plan is to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh gosh, there was someone on the Twitters whose name is escaping me right now, who said it so perfectly, and I'm looking for that right now as we speak. Her name, that's right, Annie Mueller.
Oh, yes, I saw that the other
Annie
day.
Annie Mueller, too. Yes.
What did she say again exactly?
Sometimes, in parentheses, most of the time, you figure out the plan by doing the work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's so true. So many times I have sat around and, you know, tried to figure out how I'm going to do something and planning it out. Oh, I got to have a plan. I got to make this. No. No. Just sit down and just start doing it.
Yep.
And more often than not, almost always, you figure it out. The plan presents itself along the way. You don't need to know it up front. You just need to dive in and start doing the work. And, that's very much true of what I'm working on now. And I'm even at the point now where I'm starting to worry that, you know what, I've kind of maybe have too much research planned.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Maybe I should just start writing this thing and then go,
My Evernote is teeming with research on the book. Like, I have so much stuff. And that's the other thing is then your brain goes, well, there's so much to go through, though.
My gosh. It totally is like this double-edged sword. You know, you want to do the research, and you want to get it right, and you want to, make sure that what you're saying is correct and true, and that, there are studies to back it up, and that you're just not blowing it out of your butt. But all of that stuff is your lizard brain keeping you from actually getting started.
See, what I've not been doing, and it's probably because I'm used to using the old New Year calendar that I had. Well, the Productivityist one, it's in paper. It's not a whiteboard kind, not dry erase. So when it's written on there, it can't be moved. So I'm thinking that some of the stuff that's, because I've got both calendars up there right now, I'm thinking I'd probably spend some time tonight after all the work's done and just move the stuff over from the whiteboard calendar to the permanent calendar, and then it's locked. We're talking about like the themes that I do and all that stuff, like lock those down, but make sure before, because once it's written down, it's kind of like, tablets of stone. Once it's written in stone, like, I can't erase it. I can't say, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, it has to be the thing that I focus on. So,
yeah.
And that's something, I guess, back to I resolve? No. I intend to do it, and that will help me using that tool will give me the ability to pay attention to it at the same time. We should wrap up, though.
We should.
We're going to talk again soon. Patrick, where can people find you online?
Well, I finally, just last night, updated patrickrohne.net, PATRICKRHONE, not ROHNE. No, RHONE.
And they get you and Mike, they get you and Mike Rohde mixed up.
I know. It's like, one of us is on a map as far as our last name. The other one is not. I don't know of a Rohde, Idaho or something. But I do know of, let's see, the Rhone River in France, Cote de Rhone wine, the Rhone River Valley, the city of Rhone. it's a place. Oh, well, in any case.
Oh, but
and so patrickrohne.net will lead you to all the other places I am.
By the way, one last minute thing, just as a personal thing. So yesterday my daughter comes home, tells me, actually her teacher called. My daughter's going to be published in a book.
What?
Story she wrote. Yep. Grade 4. She beat me by 30 years to publishing. Wrote a story. She's really good at writing, and she published a story, and Robert Bateman, who's a renowned Canadian artist, is doing the foreword to the book. So apparently there's going to be a book launch for her and her classmate, who's a friend of hers. They both are getting published in this book. So I'm like, as a pretty, speaking to what we spoke about last time,
proud papa.
I'm pretty proud right now.
Pretty proud papa, I bet. Man, that is awesome.
Anyway, we'll talk soon, buddy. Take care.
All right. You too, sir. Right. Bye-bye.